We'll read a few verses then. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 20-21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I want to draw your attention to the verse 23. We preach Christ crucified, Paul says. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 5, Paul says again, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach Christ crucified. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. The subject I've been asked to preach upon, and which has been announced, as you know, is the subject of the preaching of Christ. The preaching of Christ. That's what this church has been doing for 50 years. And we thank God for that, not only in your church building here, but also in evangelism, in halls and in tents in and around the town. And your ministers, past and present, have been doing that faithfully, and long may it continue. But this is not only, of course, the 50th anniversary of your church, it is also the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And it's good to know that 10% of that period, you have been preaching the same message. That's quite significant. Christ and salvation that is found in Him alone. You've been proclaiming the same Reformation doctrine that has been proclaimed from the time of Luther. Preaching Christ was a hallmark of the Protestant Reformation, and it has, I believe, been the hallmark of Free Presbyterianism. The Free Presbyterian Church was born in preaching. It continued in preaching. It's grown in preaching, and it preaches to this very day. And so the Reformation, if we refer to that again, the Reformation did many things, but one of the greatest things that it did was it revived preaching. Preaching was very rare. Preaching Christ certainly was very rare before Reformation times, but the Reformation revived that. And the Reformed faith is renowned for that, preaching Christ. And that's the motto of the radio ministry of our church, Let the Bible Speak, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Martin Luther used his pen, and all the reformers used their pens, and they wrote many volumes and many books. And as important as writing is, preaching is far more important. It's God's way. Martin Luther said, the church is not a pen house, but it's a mouth house. And that's very true. So our text this morning, we preach Christ crucified, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's how Reformed and Protestant and evangelical ministers speak. It's how every Free Presbyterian minister under God's guidance and through God's grace preaches. It's what he does. It's what takes place in the pulpit here every week. We are a relatively young denomination, 70 years of age or thereabouts. We have our faults, but I believe we have endeavored this, to continue preaching Christ in season and out of season. And that's our aim. Every minister, without exception, is ordained to that end, preaching Christ. You'll notice in our text that the apostle refers to the means and the method of transmitting the gospel. We preach. That's the means. We don't do pantomimes. We don't carry out drama. We preach. That's the method. So every Free Presbyterian pulpit is not an entertainment stage. It's a stand for using this means. We preach. But we don't only preach our method and means, we have a message. The means is only for the giving of the message, and the message is Christ. We preach Christ. The person of Christ, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. We preach the person of Christ, and we preach the work of Christ. We preach Christ crucified. That's what he did. He died for our sins, his work, his atonement. So the message is a person and the work that that person did, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so every sermon is filled with Christ. A sermon without Christ, Spurgeon said, is like a loaf of bread without flour. A sermon without Christ is like a river without water. Doesn't matter how deep it is. Doesn't matter how wide it is. If it hasn't got water, it's useless. And Christ is the water in every sermon, in every proclamation that takes place from a Free Presbyterian pulpit. So the Free Presbyterian pulpit is not an intellectual pulpit. It's a Christ-centered preaching pulpit. Preaching Christ in simplicity. Preaching Christ from the Scriptures, where alone we find him. We preach Christ. And what I want to ask this morning is why we do that. Why do we do that? Why does every Free Presbyterian pulpit exist for that? And I want to give some answers to that question that I trust will strengthen our faith in this method and in this message. Why do we do it? Why do we not just entertain the people? Why do we not set up pantomimes and get the crowds in? Why this theme? Why this person? And why this work? Why do we preach him? I want to give you several reasons this morning. The first is that it is biblical. It's biblical work. It has authority. We preach Christ because that is the biblical, the apostolic, and the New Testament way. That's what the first ministers of the gospel did. That's what the apostles did. Paul doesn't say, I preach. It's not just something peculiar to Paul. He knows he's not alone in this business. And so he says, we preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. There's a whole lot of us. We're all ministers. But this is the thing that we have in common. We preach. And so it was the apostolic way. There were apostolic preachers, and they were ordained to the task of preaching the gospel. And so nothing can replace it. If you replace it, you bring in something unbiblical. This is the biblical way. It has divine authority. Not only can nothing replace it, nothing should relegate it. Nothing should put it into second place. It's first. It has primacy. It is the apostolic way. That was why the Lord commissioned men at all. Why were they commissioned? Were they commissioned to be social workers? Were they commissioned to go around and be engaged in politics? No. Go ye into all the world and preach. That's what they were equipped and called for. That's what the Holy Spirit gifted them for, to go and preach. It's the biblical way. It is in a kind of way the constitution of the church and is the bread and butter of the Great Commission. He ordained 12, the Bible says, the first apostles. He ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Now, the apostles were unique men. They were gifted with other gifts, gifts of healing, which they were able to carry out in their function as apostles. But it wasn't the primacy. As ye go, preach. That was the first thing. That was the primacy. Preach. And if this is not a preaching pulpit, it's no pulpit at all. The pulpit exists for preaching. It's the Bible way. The Lord Jesus sent them out to be preachers. It has always been the way in the church. Just look at the prophets in the Old Testament, as well as the preachers in the New Testament. They're all so different. They have different personalities. They were in different ages. They faced different difficulties. But this is the common denominator of their function. They preached, and they preached. You remember how the apostle said to him, give all the prophets witness. That's a summary of the Old Testament preachers. To him, they give witness. They give witness by the word of their mouth. They give witness by preaching. And as you study the New Testament, you see that this is just the daily thing. You read, for example, in Acts, daily in the temple and in every house, because they didn't have grand church buildings like you have today. They met in homes and in every house meeting where they had their churches. This is the apostolic way. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They never ceased. They never come to a time when it's said, now we can stop this and we can bring in something else. They never come to that time. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so Paul said that I who am the least and less than the least of all saints, he said, I have been given grace. Why have you been given grace, Paul? That I should preach Christ among the Gentiles. Every gift, every ability, every grace, and every opportunity he brought to this one task, that he might preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And so the Reformed Church and the Free Presbyterian Church must never depart from that. From time to time as a church, we have to do a spiritual check of our health. And this is a good area to continually check, that we're not departing from the old paths of Christ-centered preaching. I should add also, we don't preach Christ because it's popular with the world. We don't preach Christ because it draws crowds. I mean, that's often the reason why people do anything today. It draws the crowds. It's popular. If you want to get them in, you have to do something that's popular. Well, we don't preach Christ because it's popular. In fact, it's getting increasingly unpopular in a secular age. Preaching Christ in Paul's day was not popular. I mean, he said, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block. They're tripping all over it. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. They laugh and mock us. Did Paul say, we'll have to change? People are tripping up over this preaching. We'll have to change. We're being mocked and laughed at and nobody comes out to hear us. We'll have to change. Did Paul say that? No. No matter about who tripped, no matter about who stumbled, no matter about who laughed or who mocked, he says we continue preaching Christ crucified. It's not popular, but we carry it on because it's biblical. It's God's way. Martin Luther said, as long as we preach Christ and confess him to be our Savior, we must be content to be called vicious troublemakers. We must continue preaching Christ, even if it's not popular, because it's God's way. It's the Bible way. So the church can never cease it. But not only is it the biblical way, there's another reason why we preach Christ. He is worthy. He is so worthy. He is the central theme and the best theme of the Bible and the central theme and the best theme in all the world. There is no more worthy subject. There is no more worthy person. And there is no more wonderful work than the work that he did for us on the cross. We preach him because he's worthy. Martin Luther said, I see nothing in Scripture except Christ crucified. And that's true. This is a subject not of human origin, but of divine revelation. This is the subject that the angels study. You know, the angels don't study geography, and they don't study human philosophy. And they're not in the universities listening to the lectures. You know where the angels are? They're here. Do you know what they study? They study the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Which things the angels desire to look into. That's what they study. You remember how they were depicted over the mercy seat? The blood-stained mercy seat, the cherubim, who represent the living beings of glory. They're looking down on the mercy seat. They're considering Christ crucified. It's the greatest theme. It's the most wonderful subject. What else is there to preach? You know, angels would queue up to do this job of preaching the Son of God. But they are not graced are called to do it. They have not experienced the unsearchable riches of Christ. They cannot deliver it as those that have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so Paul had his theme, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Christ, there's nothing more valuable. There's nothing more precious. It's like handling diamonds. Now, why would a preacher handle wee beads and let nice wee precious marbles of lovely colors thus is so attractive. They're just beads and they're just marbles. Why would a preacher do that when he can handle diamonds and when he can present the pearl of great price, Jesus Christ? So that's why we're preaching. He's a delight to preach. He's a glorious Savior. He's a wonderful Redeemer. His person. Consider who he is. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. He's God over all, blessed forever. He's the second person in the Godhead, the eternal Son of the everlasting Father, who was incarnate for us sinners, was made flesh in the humiliation of the incarnation, the miracle, a miracle greater than creation. That's why we preach him. He's a glorious theme. And he's a wonderful person. The Word made flesh. God in one person forever. The first of 10,000, the Bible says. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Son of righteousness, the first and the last, besides whom there is none else. What else would we preach? Christ is the greatest person in the universe. And he bears our nature. And the angels look at a man on the throne of God. It's a wonder. It's the wonder of wonders. How can we not preach it? And then his work. As one sent by the Father, crucified, the text says. We preach Christ crucified. Yeah, the world laughs at it. They mock it. They jeer at it. They stumble at it. They call it foolishness. But it's our glory. A crucified Savior, for one who has discovered his sinfulness, and the only remedy in this person and work, it's our glory. What else would we do? We preach Christ crucified because he's worthy. The sacrifice of his body and blood for our sins, he's worthy. And so there's none so glorious a work as this, preaching Christ. Biblical, authoritatively biblical, and gloriously worthy. But there's a third reason why we preach Christ. He's so needful. He's so needful. He is the most needful person in the universe. Why does Paul preach Christ? Because the world needs Christ. You remember how Paul wrote, he said concerning the ungodly, without Christ. That's the highlight of their hopelessness. Without Christ, therefore without hope, without light, without forgiveness of sins, doomed and near damned. And the world needs Christ. Well, why would we joke and entertain them and make sinners feel easy in their sin? Make them feel like they don't need a physician, like they don't need a Savior. Why would we do that? They need Christ. They must be felt to see they need Christ. They're to be preached to and warned. And Christ is to be proclaimed to them. He's the only Savior. He is the only hope. What does the Bible say? Neither is there salvation in any other. Any other. So that's why we don't preach anybody else. That's why we don't preach ourselves. We're not in the business of promoting our denomination. Though we rejoice in how God has used us and we humbly pray he will continue to use us. But we do not proclaim ourselves. But Christ Jesus the Lord, because we need him. and the world needs him, and that is why he's preached. The need of our soul is our greatest need of all. The need to be purified, the need to be forgiven, the need to be, as we are being reminded so much this month of Reformation anniversary, the need to be right with God. How can a man be justified? Through Christ. That's why we preach him. We preach Christ. It's how men are saved. It has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's God's way. And that's why we do it. Martin Luther said, to preach Christ is to feed the soul, to justify it, to set it free, and to save it if it believes the preaching. And Martin Luther had a way of saying things. And he didn't mince his words. And you could misinterpret him. But we know he's setting forth the importance of preaching Christ. So it's needful for our justification. It's needful for our salvation. But also, as you'll hear this week, no doubt, it's needful for our holiness. It doesn't stop when men are saved. It doesn't stop the preaching of Christ and him crucified when everybody in the church is converted. You never get away from that subject, even should everybody be a Christian in the congregation. You still preach Christ. You still preach the Lord. You still preach the cross. Because it is not only essential for our salvation, it's essential for our sanctification. It can never cease under any circumstance until we are in glory. Cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so it's biblical, it's a worthy thing, it's so needful. And lastly, it has the Holy Spirit's blessing. It's what God uses. We preach Christ crucified because it is what the Holy Spirit blesses. He doesn't bless dramas. He doesn't bless pantomimes. He doesn't use those things to convert souls and regenerate men. The Holy Spirit has ordained the preaching of the Son of God, the giving testimony to him, and that's what God blesses. That's what God uses. And if we're going to see an awakening, if we're going to see a move of God, if we're going to see another great reformation or a revival, it's only going to be through Holy Spirit anointed preaching. There's no other way. The Lord doesn't use any other way. That's how the Reformation was born, in preaching. So Christ-centered preaching has his blessing. It's the divine way. Spurgeon said, the Spirit of God bears no witness to Christless sermons. Leave Jesus out of your preaching, and the Holy Spirit will never come upon you. Why should he? Has he not come on purpose that he may testify of Christ? And that's true. I've sent you go. The Lord Jesus said to his apostles, you go and testify of me. You go and preach me. You go and tell the world of me. And I'll send you someone else. He's the Comforter. He'll be with you. And he will testify of me too. We need the twofold testimony. And both come together in the pulpit. The testimony of the preacher and the testimony of the Holy Spirit who is upon the preacher. That is God's way. You remember in the house of Cornelius, the apostle Peter, he was sent for by Cornelius, and he went and he came to the house of Cornelius and he opened his mouth and he preached Christ. He said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." This is Peter preaching. "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him," he's preaching Christ, "him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And he commanded us to preach unto the people." So he's talking about Christ. He's talking about preaching. He's talking about this means. And he's telling Cornelius in his house all about this. "He's commanded us to preach him and to say that he is ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness." This is Peter preaching. "To him give all the prophets witness that whosoever believes in him," in Jesus Christ, "shall receive all the forgiveness of their sins." And you know something? He never got the sermon finished. Because while he was yet speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word. And there was a great move of God in the house of Cornelius. You see, that's the biblical way. Preaching and praying for the Holy Ghost and waiting for the Holy Ghost. The thing is, when the Holy Spirit doesn't move the way we want him to move or would desire him to move, the temptation is that we bring in other things to kind of get things going. It doesn't work. We have to wait for the Holy Ghost and continuing preaching Christ in all his fullness. That's the biblical way, and there's no other. And so, as a Reformed church, your 50 years of faithful, Christ-centered ministry, many of those years I enjoyed here and was blessed, feeding on the Lord in his word. And may it continue under your minister in the years to come, the primacy of Christ-centered preaching. So I would say to you, congregation, support your minister in the preaching of the gospel. Don't hassle him. Give him time to study the word, to be with Christ, because that's why they were ordained, to be with Christ and to go and preach. Give him time to be with Christ. Give him time in the word. Pray for him. Support him. Come out and hear him preaching Christ. That's the way. And wait for the Holy Ghost to fall. Wait for the Holy Ghost to fall. So attend the means of grace and the proclamation of the gospel. And labor and endeavor to get your loved ones under it. They need to hear the gospel. They're not going to be saved unless they hear the gospel, the preaching of Christ. You have to get them out. You have to labor to get them out under the gospel, your loved ones. If they don't want to hear the gospel, they don't want to know Christ. You need to get them out. And if you're not converted here this morning, and you've sat under the Christ-centered preaching for so many years, how can you continue in unbelief and rejection of so worthy a Savior? Believe in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so thou shalt be saved. Amen.